In 2025, they are saying there's going to be some exit velocity testing at the PPA level. Maybe the APP level, you never know what the APP is doing, but PPA and MLP, they're going to be implementing some exit velocity testing, which I think is going to be good. Supposedly, it's going to decrease the power of the paddles across the board. I've heard by 10%. Who knows what 10% actually means, but that's what I'm being told. Maybe 10% means that, you know, what exit velocity is just how fast a ball can exit the paddle, I would imagine. I actually don't know. But if it's not that, then I would be surprised. Be surprised if exit velocity meant anything else. Okay, so we are back with another episode of my show. Thank you, as always, for watching, and thank you for being subscribed to my YouTube channel and my newsletter. I had a bunch of people, again, come up to me in Vegas and tell me they were subscribed in the newsletter. That's always my favorite thing to hear. I'm going to keep this short because I always talk about this, but I might not always be the best at talking to fans at the tournaments. I get, like, super locked in, obviously, and, you know, we're playing pretty consequential matches, and sometimes right after, right before, somebody will come talk to me, and, you know, I'm always polite, but it's just tough to always be super nice and engaging. But if you are a subscriber to my YouTube channel, the newsletter, always tell me, because I'll always be super more than willing to take a picture. You guys get special treatment, as always. And I'm always surprised by how many people are subscribed to the newsletter and just kind of watching the podcast and everything. It always just brightens my day. I feel so grateful that people actually watch me speak, because I never would have thought that that would be something people wanted to do in their free time. So don't be, you know, I'm glad you're doing it. Don't be self-conscious that this is what you're choosing to do in your free time. But I'm definitely a little surprised and flattered that people actually think that what I have to say is valuable. So I don't take that for granted. Seriously, I think it's super cool. I know I joke around about that, but that is super cool. And that's one of the reasons why I do this pod. The other reason is that Josh, the producer, makes me do it. That's probably the main reason. Just kidding. Okay. So anyway, first thing we're going to talk about, this is something that's been asked to me a lot, and I have an answer here that I'm pretty confident in, which is people say, you know, how do I choose the right paddle for me? Should I go with a more powerful paddle? Should I go for a more control-oriented paddle? And that answer has actually changed a lot. The game has changed so much. People are hitting the ball harder and harder, and everything's changing. So my updated answer, I've thought about this a lot, believe it or not. I think that players should use, especially when they're developing and they're, you know, 3-0 to 4-0, they're trying to figure out their game. I think that players should use the most powerful paddle that they can somewhat comfortably control. So even if you are having some issues with controlling it, if you're missing some shots, I think you should be using the most powerful paddle that you can basically play with. Okay. The reason for that is I think that if you use a very powerful paddle, it does a couple of things for your game that will set you up well for the future. So I think the first thing is, the more powerful paddle that you use, the smaller your volleying swings are naturally going to be. And as you're getting started, if you're just trying to figure out your game, if you're a 3-5 and whatnot, I think learning how to shorten up your volley swings is super important, because as we always talk about, as you go up in level, the higher and higher the level, the shorter the volleying swings seem to be. You know, you go to the lower levels, the swings are big, and then the pros are just super small with their swings. Not a coincidence. So I think that if you use a very powerful paddle at a young pickleball age, right when you're getting started in pickleball, I think that it's a very good way to train yourself to volley the right way. Because if you use the most powerful paddle on the market, you don't need to take a big swing. Actually, if you do take a big swing, it probably harms you more than helps you. So I think using that powerful paddle will naturally shorten up your swings. You're also not going to feel like you have to swing so hard and hit the ball so hard, which actually makes your hands faster, right? Because what we talk about too is, you know, a looser arm moves faster. If you're not really trying to hit the ball so hard, you're actually going to hit it harder. It's kind of like golf. If you tense up and try to hit it so hard, you don't hit it that hard. I would know. I suck at golf, among other things. So, other thing there too is, if you are using a very powerful paddle, it's easier to develop the right technique to control the soft stuff. So if you're playing with the most control-oriented paddle ever, you can actually get away with some technical flaws, some, you know, errors in the transition zone or the drop, you know, maybe even the dink, right? Some wrist stuff, just some mild technical errors that you can get away with because you're using such a control-oriented paddle. It's a lot easier to, I would just say, get away with that stuff and just hit the soft stuff. I mean, I've used the most powerful paddle. I've used the most control-oriented paddle. And I can tell you that there is a big difference in how easy it is to hit drops, resets, and dinks with control-oriented paddles. So when I was getting started, I actually did use a pretty control-focused paddle. We won't say which one it was because it wasn't a seller paddle. It was back when I was, you know, a baby in pickleball. And I actually developed some bad habits because I was getting away with using some extra wrist on my dinks and some extra wrist on my drops because the paddle was so soft. And then I tried to switch to a poppier paddle, and then those mistakes presented themselves. So I would say that if you use a powerful paddle, it's actually going to make your soft game better in the long run because you're forced to use the small swing. You're forced to realize what works and what doesn't work. Because if you're using a super poppy paddle, you can't use wrist. You're going to, you know, the mistakes are going to be put in front of you when you make them, right? You're not going to get away with anything. So it's good for your overall technique on the hard stuff and the soft stuff, I would say, using a very powerful paddle when you get started. I also don't think there's too many bad habits that can be generated from using a very powerful paddle, namely because as you get better and better and better, you are going to want to have aggressive components to your game using a powerful paddle. If you look at the best pros in the game, most of them are using paddles that have a lot of power. If you look at the game 1 year ago, I would say, I'm not going to put any numbers out there, but I would definitely say the percentage of top 20 players or so that used, you know, control-oriented paddles or power-oriented paddles, and it's kind of tough to denominate and really classify one or the other, but there are some that are obvious, and this is kind of just something that we can arbitrarily determine. You look at the best players from a year ago, a lot of them were using more control-oriented paddles. Now it looks like almost all of the top players are using paddles that have a lot of power. And I think there's so many reasons for it. Obviously, the game is trending in that direction. So if you use a paddle that has a lot of power, then you are going to be preparing yourself to eventually play at the higher level where you are going to more or less need a paddle that has a lot of power. And also, you can see that the paddles are getting more and more powerful. But that might actually change a little, not to totally take away from my own point, but I guess...
All right, so now I'm here to talk to you guys about Selkirk backpacks. I probably shouldn't have to talk to you about them. I mean, you see them, you know, it's enough of an ad to see them at all these tournaments. I mean, it seems like everybody's got one, and I actually think they're the best. You know, I'm always begging Rob to send me more. I've got like four or five backpacks. They last so long, too. I think the biggest thing about Selkirk backpacks is that they're really durable, especially with me. I mean, I'm putting as many paddles as possible in the backpacks. I've got gallons of coffee in the backpacks, sweaty shirts. I've done everything possible that you shouldn't do to a backpack, to a Selkirk backpack, and I've had it now for 2 years. So I'm a huge proponent of the Selkirk backpacks. I think the Tour Line ones especially are very good. They look cool. They look sleek. I personally like the black ones. I'm known to bring two of them on court every match. So yeah, these are just my personal opinions on the Selkirk backpacks. I also think the Team Line is good. And yeah, I think if you want one, get one because they're going to last you quite a while. And they also look pretty cool. And they don't necessarily just look like a pickleball backpack either. I mean, I can wear them pretty much and bring them wherever, and it doesn't really, you know, it kind of just fits in with any other backpack that you would have. So
in 2025, they are saying there's going to be some exit velocity testing at the PPA level, maybe the APP level. You never know what the APP is doing, but PPA and MLP, they're going to be implementing some exit velocity testing, which I think is going to be good. Supposedly it's going to decrease the power of the paddles across the board. I've heard by 10%. Who knows what 10% actually means. But that's what I'm being told. Maybe 10% means that, you know, what exit velocity is just how fast a ball can exit the paddle, I would imagine. I actually don't know. But if it's not that, then I would be surprised if exit velocity meant, you know, anything else. Right. So that's probably what it is. And mainly what's going to happen is the paddles are going to get a little less powerful. But what's interesting and probably the most important thing here is that if paddles do get 10% less powerful from where they are now, that would still mean that they are more powerful on average probably than they were a year and a half ago. So the game is moving pretty quickly, and I would say getting comfortable wielding a weapon that is super powerful is definitely something I would recommend to players of all levels. Not to say that there isn't a place for control paddles. I think maybe control paddles are something that players should use if they already have a lot of power and they already are maybe more refined in their game. I think that's actually one of the most common misconceptions. So a lot of players think that when they're getting started, you know, they don't feel comfortable controlling the ball. Maybe they're 3-0s or 3-5s. They feel like they can't control it as well, and they want to use a very control-oriented paddle. And again, this is just my opinion. I know I'm presenting it as if it's a fact. I have a tendency to do that. Sorry, this is just my opinion, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. Okay. So my opinion here is that if you are, you know, let's say, and you hear this all the time, players that are of a lower level, maybe 3-0, whatever it is, they feel like they have a tough time controlling the ball as they're getting started. They want to use a control-oriented paddle. I say the best way to prepare yourself to play at the best, highest level that you can play at, you know, a year or two down the road, is to just get started using that powerful paddle, because you also then will not have to make the switch from control to power, which is something I had to do. And I know how tough it was for me to do a year and a half into my career to switch from a very control focused paddle to a very power focused paddle, something that can set you back in a lot of ways. It'll take time to make that adjustment. You eliminate that adjustment period entirely. Two, you train yourself to get used to holding a super powerful paddle, which is something you probably will be doing at the higher levels. And then three, you are going to force yourself to use the correct technique, whether it's with the soft stuff or the hard stuff. So that's my personal opinion. Just start using a powerful paddle right away, or at least the most powerful paddle that you feel comfortable using. If you're already an established player, you're a 5-0, you already have the soft stuff down, but you're a guy who says, okay, for example, Jack Sock uses a more control-oriented paddle. He's already got his game down. He knows he can finish the point. Great overhead with any paddle. So then he uses a more control-oriented paddle. I think that's where it would make sense. Okay, I'm going to take a sip, Lucha. It's not easy, guys. I'm talking to yourself for 15 minutes at a time. I do this for you, you know. Okay, anyway, so what's next? One other quick thing we got to shout out. If you are in Atlanta, if you're playing the Atlanta PPA, and Josh reminded me to release this one. This one's got to be the first one we release out of the two we're recording tonight. If you are playing the Atlanta PPA, just know that on that Monday after, there is a very, very special clinic in Atlanta. If you want the details, it's just been posted on my Instagram. I'm sure you can find it. But here's what you do. Well, I'll just say this. You know, I've been commonly asked at my clinics, or even just told, downright just spoken to in my clinics. They say, James, you know, we love James Ignatowicz clinics. James Ignatowicz clinics are amazing. You know, everything, the structure, everything's great. The only thing that could be a little better, could be a lot better, is the James Ignatowicz part. The James aspect of the whole James Ignatowicz clinic, that's the only thing that, you know, a lot of these players have an issue with. They just think the James part can be better. And I get that. I get that a lot. So if you're somebody who loves yourself a James Ignatowicz clinic, but you are just tired of me, you don't want the James Ignatowicz part of this clinic, well, guess what? We got somebody better. On Monday, after the Atlanta PPA, the number one, at one point he might be number two now, men's doubles player in the world, right? Beats me in men's doubles all the time. And he uses a Selkirk paddle. Dylan Frazier will be teaching and leading a James Ignatowicz clinic. it's just a Dylan Frazier clinic. I'm just helping him with setting it up, and you know, I'm not even doing anything. It's a Dylan Frazier clinic run through me and through my clinic business. Dylan Frazier Clinic, Monday after the PPA Atlanta. Make sure to check it out because he's a great coach. He's a great player. He's infinitely cooler than me. And yeah, if you have any interest in that clinic, you could probably leave a comment below and I'll steer you in the right direction. You can reach out to James Ignatowicz Coaching on Instagram to learn about the clinic. But it'll be easy. Just search Dylan Frazier Atlanta Clinic and they'll show you how to sign up. That's going to be a good one. Make sure to check that one out. And that is all we have, folks. Thank you for watching. And yeah, that's all we got.